We just need to move Christmas to the point that it is about Christ. But by being about Christ, that means it's also going to be about the Christian family and about the Christian worship and about Christian living.
Hi, welcome to this version of the Center's Kingdom Culture Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Merle Skinner, the minister of the Christian Family and Children's Center. Today we're talking about Christmas and celebrating Christmas, a topic that families are obviously very interested in, and Christians particularly are all across the board on this in terms of trying to figure out how do they want to honor Christ and how do they make sure that their kids get the real meaning of Christmas, how do we enjoy and have fun and do a variety of different things that that kind of meet all those goals that we all value as Christians. So if you're not a Christian and you're thinking and you're engaging in this, let me say that one of the versions that viewpoints that people take is, oh, that's just legalistic, or oh, that's you're no fun or whatever. But I would say, let's start with an assumption that we all think fun is good, and we all think that family time is great, and those are all biblical values, enjoying each other. And so as we engage today, we're going to try to do a couple of different things and just talk about that topic generally. But we're going to get a little deeper too. So today we have our host, Dr. Alan, our guest today, Dr. Alan Ricketts. Alan's is an expert in apologetics and historical faith and theology. It's good to have you today, Alan.
Good to be here.
So Alan, this is something that we engage at the center a lot because, of course, we have a school program, and so we have policies around all the holidays and Christmas, trying not to be legalistic, but try to be intentional. Our purpose here is to try to encourage families to make sure that Christmas is focused on Christ. And whatever they do around that, and however they figure that out, that they don't lose that particular focus, and that Christ and Christ's birthday and the celebration of you know, God coming to earth is not just another thing thrown in with, you know, Frosty and whoever else that the traditions are. So. We've done some things as a family. We've done some things as an organization here. But Al, for you, you have kids. They're grown now. You have grandkids. How's this issue affected you personally, you and BR?
Well, we've always had books around the house for Christmas time. Several of which talk about kind of the issue of Santa, are you for real, mm-hmm. and connect who Santa Claus is to Saint Nicholas, mm-hmm. and try to make that historic connection. We've always had a number of traditions of getting together and always eating too many Christmas cookies, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the one of the things I've noticed as the grandkids have gotten older and know a whole lot more about computers than I do, is that they're coming across the issue of, is Christmas a pagan holiday, or was it adapted as a pagan holiday? They're being confronted with that a little bit.
It's true. We hear when this topic comes up, it's really interesting. Like, for example, in the families we work with here, there are families that say, hey, I want my child excused from any celebration around Christmas because we think that it is a pagan holiday and we're going to focus on Jesus. And there's people who, you know, because we have a policy at the school, we don't focus on Santa. We try to focus on Christ. And so we like don't encourage people to come in with, you know, dress up as Santa and those kind of things. Again, for all of you folks that do that out there, this is not we think you're wrong. It's just trying to keep a focus. But it's funny how people get so offended by things. It's like, you know, it's like, oh, you're not a Christian if you do this, or you're not a, and so today I'd like us to dig a little bit into thinking about not a particular way to celebrate Christmas, but a way to make sure that Christ is at the center of Christmas. And as we talk about that, so let's just focus a little bit on this idea that it's a pagan holiday. I mean, where do you want to start with that?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to say that it's okay to celebrate Jesus' birth. It happened in Scripture.
Yeah.
Before he was born, John the Baptist celebrated the coming of Jesus while in his mother's womb. So he's already celebrating at that point, celebrating the birth of Jesus. Angels also praised God for Jesus, as did the shepherds. So if it's okay for angels to celebrate, the birth of the Messiah, then why wouldn't it be okay for us to celebrate the birth of the Messiah? And then we have the Magi, the three kings. They also came to worship Jesus and presented him with gifts. So if he's worshiped, and that worship of Jesus as a child by the Magi, it's an indication of his deity from birth. Only God's worthy of worship. So if they're worshiping him, their time when they did that may have been on that night, it may have been sometime later, but it was still them coming to worship him as a child, celebrating that he has been born.
Well, you know, one of the things around that, I think sometimes Christians struggle, there are Christians that struggle with celebration, right? The idea that we really have, if we're really, really happy and not stoic in our faith, then somehow we're not really serious about Jesus, right?
Yeah, that's kind of a result of what I, not just me, but it's referred to as American pietism. We've somehow decided out of certain traditions that being calm and quiet and boring is somehow more holy than celebrating. And when I hear that, I have to admit, I wonder if they've ever read the Old Testament. Yeah. Have you ever read the Psalms? Have you ever read about clap your hands, dance before the Lord, celebrating? I always remember picturing in the Old Testament talks about banners coming into the worship and celebrating with banners. And that never meant much to me until one year at the Creation Festival here in Pennsylvania. That music festival, they had an entrance for one of the bands where just people just marched down with banners through the crowd of 60,000 people or however many it was. And it was an amazing thing. No lights, no flashing, no lasers, just the banners. It was a celebration. We're told to celebrate in the scriptures. God was pretty clear about creating a whole series of celebrations and holidays for Israel. Their whole calendar is based around all these celebrations that God created. He commanded them to do it. Some of them were quiet and calm and introspective and full of repentance, and some of them are great celebrations of joy.
Well, so we're there. While we're there, why don't we flip on the other side of that? Because then there are Christians who say, hey, I can do whatever I want to do, and, you know, and Christmas can be however. We don't want to be legalists about this. And you talk to their kids, and they're like, you know, so young kids will say, yeah, Christmas was the night that Santa was born to save the world, or Jesus, you know. So they kind of get all mixed up in the idea that there isn't enough intentionality about this. Which is, again, it goes really, really well in our current culture. Talk about current culture, where everybody can create their own truth, right? So Santa can be whoever we want to at Christmas. Jesus can be whoever we want to. Frosty can be whoever we want to. And Rudolph's running there someplace. So, this idea that we can swing the other way, correct? I mean, that we can lose a sense of purpose and piety. Let's use that word. I mean, you know, the sense that this is an amazing night that we're celebrating.
Well, I just was in a discussion online this week with somebody who was complaining how legalistic the Puritans were because at a certain point they had Christmas outlawed. Mm-hmm. But what they're ignoring is the historical part of that Christmas had turned into nothing more than kind of a drunken celebration in the culture and completely pagan in what the people were doing. So the Puritans at that point said, we're going to back off from that. The Christian faith has always tried to keep this balance, this struggle of realizing that we're part of this world and that we can celebrate and enjoy what's in this world without, at the same time, breaking the guidelines and the directions and the commandments that God's given us. And trying to balance those things out has always been a struggle. We've always gone from antinomianism to legalism, and you know, those two things have always been a difficulty.
To say quickly, when I do work with families, it's interesting that we tag a lot of this stuff on our faith, but if you really look at how families celebrate Christmas or other holidays, a lot of it is how they celebrated as children, you know? Mm-hmm. And so to be intentional Oftentimes what we're trying to do is trying to say, I really enjoy this because this is a part of my life. I really had fun with this. I like this. So let's make sure that we can tag a Christian label on it to make it good. I didn't like this part. So let's make sure that we tag an anti-Christian label on this. And so I think that that work really needs to be done, not just theologically and in our heads, because that doesn't work practically. We start saying, yeah, we got to read the Christmas story, and so nobody wants to. We can't open the presents, and we start getting into this ritualistic kind of a thing, instead of saying, hey, I really like this. How do we make this Christian? How do we celebrate the Christianity in this? How do we avoid the stuff that just really doesn't seem really good here kind of thing? That takes a lot of work on a family's part, particularly as a young family are establishing the celebration of holidays at the beginning. I know we've found that to be true.
Yeah, the focus of that people talk about keeping Christ in Christmas, without Christ, it's not Christmas. So it's pretty hard to separate those two. At the same time, the traditions become important to families, but we need to keep those traditions biblical and not just be culturally mandated. We don't need for the focus to be entirely commercial or entirely what am I getting and that kind of a thing. We just need to move Christmas to the point that it is about Christ, but by being about Christ, that means it's also going to be about the Christian family and about the Christian worship and about Christian living and caring for the and fun and joy.
Throw cookies in there too, huh?
Yeah.
Well, let's dig a little deeper. So this is not a new thing. It's not that not since the Jesus movement did the people start figuring out that they had to worry about Christmas, like you talked about. Where does some of this come from, or what do you think are some of the key points here?
Well, the one that I've been seeing most lately has to do with the pagan festival, which is the birth of the unconquered sun, which in English it's called Sol Invictus. It was instituted by Roman Emperor Aurelian on the 25th of December in the year 274. And a lot of people say, well, it's a pagan festival and Christians copied it. The trouble is, it was most likely an attempt to create a pagan alternative to the date that Christians were already celebrating. History shows this to be entirely wrong. If that's what happened, if Christians already thought that date was the right date, or at least the date on which they wanted to celebrate it, then the entire pagan origins of Christmas is a myth. It didn't happen that way.
Push on that a little bit. I'll push on a little bit. Because this is a relatively new thought, I think. Not necessarily a new thought, because obviously it happened long, but it's gaining some popularity, right?
Yeah, the first person to really actually focus on this was back in the 12th century and more of history than most people want to hear. But the beginning of the last century, there were a couple authors who wrote some things and kind of stirred this on. And it is true that there were, earlier, before Aurelian, in Roman history, there were two temples dedicated to the sun. One was connected to his family, and it celebrated a dedication festival on August 9th. The other one celebrated a festival on August 28th. Neither one of them are even in December. Those groups actually sort of faded away, and other cults of the sun, such as the Mithraism, began to grow in Rome. What's important is all these mystery religions of different kinds that came out of Greece and Egypt and the Middle East and Rome, none of them had celebrations connected to solstices or equinoxes. So this whole thing that we were copying their celebration of the solstice, first of all, it's on the wrong date. The celebrations that we have at Christmas on the 25th isn't the solstice anyhow, so it doesn't make any sense. Aurelian wanted to take these cults, these groups that he thought were the foundation of the Roman strength, and renew them in his day.
So it was actually, Alpha, if I can interject, yeah. It was actually secularism trying to recapture a Christian holiday from your perspective and from many yeah. people's perspective,
yeah.
which is really interesting because we keep focusing on this being backwards, right?
Yeah. I mean, he wanted to build up the various pagan cults around a commemoration of the annual rebirth of the sun, but also as a counter to Christianity. He hoped it'd bring Rome together under the gods that made it great in the first place. So when we claim that Christmas is a copy of these pagan solar festivals, according to this theory, early Christians deliberately chose these dates to encourage the spread of Christmas and Christianity. But if Christmas looked like a pagan holiday, they thought maybe more pagans would be open to both a holiday and the God whose birth it celebrated. And we need to be careful of that ourselves, that we in the church don't simply, in many different ways, try to imitate the culture to make Christianity more palatable to people. That's one lesson out of all this that's important. Mm-hmm. I remember back in the old days in the Jesus movement and things, people all talk about, I gotta make Christianity relevant. And that sounds good on the surface, but at the same time, it already is relevant. We need to make the culture relevant to the truth of the Christian faith.
Very different focus there.
And that's
a great example for Christmas too, right?
Yeah.
So the idea is that as we start to think about our own traditions, our family traditions, the culture that's happening around us, we can be intentional, right? We can actually and be free to think about this idea that we can celebrate Christ's birth in a variety of different ways. And then try to be true to the convictions in our lives, because we're concerned about our kids and developing a perspective. If our kids focuses on what they can't do because they're Christians, or how much freedom they have and they don't really have to do anything because we're all having fun, that's missing the whole intent of integration. So where do we go out with this? Where do we go with this as we start to think about bringing it back to how this stuff applies? What are the kind of key concepts that we need to talk about here, do you think?
The people that say that we shouldn't celebrate Christmas because the church fathers appropriated the date of a pagan festival, first of all, we need to, in my mind, the first thing I think of is, who cares? Only in the sense that, isn't that our job? Isn't it what we're supposed to do? Take what is pagan and transform it, redeem it into something that honors and glorifies God.
Okay.
Shouldn't we be doing that with everything? And so why would it be a problem to do that with Christmas, even if that is what happened? If we kept the pagan actions and beliefs, then we're in trouble. But if we redeem that day, if we redeem that celebration and turn it into something that honors Christ, isn't that what we're trying to do for the whole world and
Absolutely.
Our whole culture?
Absolutely. If we think about this for a current family then that's thinking about this, instead of using the word pagan, one of the things we could think about is secular.
Yeah.
We could say, look, are our celebrations secular, or are they distinctly Christian?
Yeah.
And if so, and that goes well beyond what we sing, and what we do. It goes back to heart. And so those kind of practices are really important. I think, again, most of people's intent that are genuinely looking for the faith are trying to figure out how to help make sure things like holidays are that their kids get that and that they celebrate those things. And we tend to focus on what we do rather than the process and who we are. And that's really hard. So talking about this stuff in my mind is really important.
Yeah. And I think there's a bigger picture going on here that is happening a lot in Christianity these days. And being in apologetics, you have to be careful not to fall into this trap. But we have so many people who seem to want to make a name for themselves or their church by opposing what's generally seen as good in Christianity. Mm-hmm. I'm the unique one. I've got the corner on the market of truth here.
I'm a radical Christian.
Yeah, and I'm the one, so I'm going to point out everybody else's flaws, and I'm going to take this topic and run with it and show that it's just everybody else has been wrong in the whole history of the church, and Augustine and Calvin and Luther and Everybody else couldn't figure it out, but I figured it out.
Yeah.
And have that kind of ego going on that makes a name for themselves, gets them on the TV, but the is it really good for the body of Christ? Is it really true what's being said?
And what we don't, we want to use very careful words here, but it does border on heresy, right? When you start to move away from the traditions of the faith into, now I've got a new law, I've got a new dispensation, I've got a new this. I mean, and again, and I want to be really careful. We're not, the goal here isn't to be critical, but to keep focused.
And it is another balance of pointing out error and pointing out false doctrine, etc., and doing it just for the publicity, doing it just to be different.
While you're getting that, I would also say that from a leadership perspective, from a parenting perspective, one of the things that it is hard for people to do is to make sure what's motivating us. You know, is it truly what's motivating us? And to dig deep into that, because it can be, well, this is kind of theological, but it really puts me on a pedestal, and that's very different. So as I think about, So, one of the things then that as we pick up on those kind of things, that motivational piece, is if I've experienced as a leader of an organization that's trying to say, hey, there's a whole bunch of different people from an interdenominational perspective, and we've got to come together and figure out what we're going to do before Christmas, you know, break. One of the things that I've found in myself is that if my focus is on helping and quit taking ownership of what people actually do. You know what I mean? So, for example, when we start to say, here's our center policies, here's some good stuff to read, we do this podcast and say, like, if our goal is, we're going to change everybody's lives by this podcast, I'm going to be so significant. I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking hopefully some people are going to listen to it and say, hey, you know, it makes me think about some things that point me to Jesus. I don't want to say I don't care, but when we're actually doing things without the idea that we're going to get something out of it or that we're going to be influential, but that we're just being faithful. And so that's what makes this stuff really hard, because it's very powerful in people's lives. When we start touching people's traditions and family and things like that and talking about these things, it really does get hard. I've seen families not be able to be together at Christmas time because of somebody's convictions, and I think somehow that can't be right. Somehow there's a way to have a conviction and yet to have grace and honor in each other's lives. So it's tough stuff.
Yeah, and it always seems to me that there's not enough understanding in the middle of those divisions, and people hear something and run with it, or they're unwilling to change if they find out that some tradition isn't quite appropriate or something. Mm-hmm. We need to be more flexible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We need to figure out, one of the most amazing theologians that I ever had contact with, someone whose mind was just outstanding, was Dr. John Gerstner. Mm-hmm. And I remember Dr. Gerstner one time saying, none of us gets it more than 80% right.
Yeah.
So, where none of us are perfect, so we need to be able to think about what we're doing, why we're doing it, think through it, but also have the passion for the faith to look into some of these things as they come up. I mean, we know that the choice of December 25th is the results of some of the earliest Christians trying to figure out the date of Jesus' birth. They didn't just automatically pick it. It wasn't done because of pagan festivals. That whole debate can be had, but it's not really valid, because we know that early Christians looked at their own calendar and did some figuring. Part of that is that people aren't aware that there was an old Jewish idea. It's not in scripture, but it was a part of the Jewish culture that a prophet would die on the same day he was conceived. And that notion was called integral age. And so they would speak of the integral great, I can't even say it, I ought to say it in Hebrew, it's easier, integral age of the great Jewish prophets. So that if they believe that Jesus was crucified at Passover on March 25th, they believe that that was also the date of his conception. 9 months from then is December 25th. That's where that came from, not from a pagan festival.
That's cool.
From figuring that out.
I didn't
out.
Know that, Al. That's really a cool concept.
And the early Christians focused on that, and that's where they came up with that.
Let's get a couple of those other tidbits out here real quickly, because those are kind of cool concepts, and then we'll kind of bring it home and talk about, kind of wrap it up in a bow and talk about Christmas.
Yeah, and we have some of the early Christians like Tertullian around 200 AD, which is a long time before the solstice stuff. Calculating the 14th of Nisan, which is as the day of crucifixion, according to the Gospel of John. So that was equivalent to March 25th in the Roman calendar, which was solar. And we're back to that whole December 25th kind of thing. Mm-hmm. There was a difference in the calendars in the East, and so that's where the other celebration of trying to say that it's ought to be in early January there, January 6th, because there are calendar differences would put it on that date. But they're still working on that same foundation, that same kind of way. Even today, the Armenian Church celebrates the Annunciation in early April. I lived in one town that had a very big Greek Russian Orthodox Church, and we would always leave the Christmas lights up and everything up until the 6th of January. So you had an extra long Christmas in that town. But all of this was a byproduct of attempts to determine when to celebrate his death and resurrection, and therefore could figure out his birth. So that's and we have that history earlier than all these other discussions about pagan holidays, et cetera, et cetera. And there are times and other hints that the Bible gives. Some people talk about since the celebration of Jesus' nativity aren't mentioned in the Gospels or in Acts, the date's not given, not even the time of year. Some people look at the reference to the shepherds tending their flocks at night. And when they hear the news of Jesus' birth, and that suggests the spring lambing season. But the lambing season was as early as December in that milder climate. That was not really a possibility. But December is possible. And it's also possible that they were tending the sheep, not for lambing, but in preparation for the temple sacrifice. And that could have been in December too. So that's not really terribly helpful or a great argument to depend on.
So is the idea, Al, that what I'm hearing you saying is that for somebody who says, you know, I'm going to celebrate Christmas on December 25th, and it's not just a made-up date. It's not necessarily a pagan holiday. It has roots that could be very, very intentional to be Jesus' birthday. Mm-hmm. And I can stand on that, not just emotionally, but intellectually on some level.
Yeah, we have the historical record. We have the Donatists in North Africa celebrating Christmas on that date earlier than all these other discussions about pagan holidays. Hippolytus of Rome argued before 235 that Jesus was born on December 25th. So we know that there was discussions about that earlier, and that this whole argument of it being following pagan ideas, pagan festival, doesn't really hold up historically.
That's pretty cool.
Probably the pagans were borrowing from the Christians.
I love that idea. I love the idea that, although it's certainly a valid argument to say that Christians need to recapture Christmas in today's culture. Yeah. I mean, many folks see not much value in Christians celebrating, and that's a sad thing because so this whole idea of us being intentional as we wrap this up, Al, what would you say, or maybe let me put words in your mouth and you tell me whether you like them or not. It's very intellectual to celebrate Christmas. It's very theological to celebrate Christmas. It is besides having cookies, it's a lot of fun too. Would that be true? Would that be kind of your summary statement here?
I think so. And I think even to the point of focusing, the reminding people that, to get logical for a second, they're even committing the genetic fallacy, if we want to put it that way. That's when you argue something's wrong because of its origins.
Mm-hmm.
Where something came from is not the determination of whether it's right or wrong. So the whole thing doesn't really add up. And people say that we shouldn't celebrate because there was a couple pagans in Scripture who celebrated their birthdays or whatever. Again, our job is to redeem these things. Our job is to take them back. We're not focusing on the equinox. We're not celebrating what's going on there. In fact, the Saturnalia celebration was on the 17th of December, so we even got the date wrong if we're doing that. No, we're completely justified, I think, in celebrating. We need to watch how we do it and make sure that our focus stays on who it is that we're following.
I think, Al, that's a great way to finish our day today and challenge people to think about this intentionally. Maybe move beyond the emotional arguments, because I feel like that's what we talk about a lot. Like, I want to do this, therefore I'm upset that you've said this, or I don't want to do this, therefore you. And so as a therapist, as a counselor, let me suggest that as families we begin to take a good hard look at what we're trying to do, why we're wanting to do it, own it. For what it is, hey, I like to eat cookies, so like I don't need to necessarily have a theological argument to have cookies at Christmas time. But I want to be careful that those cookies don't become the focus of Christmas, right? Mm-hmm. And so do that. If you guys are interested in this, Dr. Ricketts will be glad to talk with you about it more. He loves to talk about this kind of stuff. Go to our website at champion.org to find out more. You can check some of our podcasts at champion.org/podcast. You'll find some interesting topics there. If you're interested in just some varying points of view about celebrating Christmas from a Christian perspective, you can go to our website and go to champion.org/CCS. And under the resource page there, if you dig a little bit, you'll find it. And there's some ideas about ways to think about Christmas and Halloween and other kinds of holidays from a distinctly Christian perspective. So, Al, if you would, I'm going to ask you if you'll close us in prayer, and maybe we can pray for families that are either struggling with this or maybe haven't even thought about it, you know, and that, Lord, that the Lord could really do something here for us.
Great. Father, we do thank you for this time to share together, and we do pray for those who struggle at this time of year with the meaning of Christmas and what it's about. We do pray that there would be a willingness to look into the evidence, to look into Scripture, to look into church history, and see what has actually happened, and to be willing, as God has commanded in the Old Testament over and over again, to celebrate who He is. Worship is a celebration, and to celebrate is to worship, and we pray that that would come together and help us to realize that we're going to do this in the human ways, and we're going to do this in the midst of all the different cultures of the world. But in all these ways, we lift up Jesus. And it's in His name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Al. Appreciate it very much. And for those of you who may not be connected to a church, let me encourage you that one of the great ways to celebrate Christ's birthday is to attend church around Christmas and find a place that loves Jesus and build some family traditions in a local church.